The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't like about the mainstream media, but one of them is that whenever you see a woman in the mainstream media talking about porn, she almost often always is complaining about it, about how her partner watches it, watches too much of it, watches too much of the wrong kind of it, or how it's somehow breaking them apart. So I'm really excited to have this discussion with my guest today. Let me tell you about her. After completing her degree at the University of Arizona in 2001, Allison Vivas joined a startup adult website affiliate program called Topbucks at the tender age of 21. Allison quickly rose to the position of marketing director, where she oversaw a wide range of the company's activities in marketing, sales, event coordination, and project planning across several product lines for both the adult entertainment and mainstream markets. In 2004, the company launched Pink Visual to bring together its internet, broadcast, and DVD distribution efforts under a single brand. Allison was named president of Pink Visual in 2006, and since then, the company has played a major role with mobile distribution and anti-piracy efforts, most recently launching the anti-piracy service DMCA Force. She penned the book Making Peace with Porn in 2013, which combined research with her own personal growth around understanding porn as a woman. Allison is a two-time winner of the XBiz Award for Adult Industry Woman of the Year, and I'm thrilled to talk to her today. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Allison.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here and speaking with you.
So as one of the major players in porn and one of the most powerful women in the porn industry, I think people would be surprised to find out, which I'm not giving a spoiler here, this really happens within the first few pages of your book, that the first time a guy ever asked you to watch porn, you cried.
Oh, yeah. It was my husband, but back then we were just dating at the time, and we had a long-distance relationship, actually, so that probably even played into the experience more. And on one of my visits, he had told me that he got some DVDs for us to watch. I'm pretty sure it was DVDs. It wasn't VHS back then. It was around 2000, so only a year before I joined the adult industry. And immediately there were two women and they started into a lesbian scene, and I just started bawling. And that was a huge fight about it. And he just wanted to calm me down. But I had all these emotional reactions to it about myself, just thinking that he wanted me to be a lesbian. He wanted to add another woman in our relationship. He wasn't satisfied with just me, that he wanted me to look that way. And I didn't feel that I looked that way. And that, I think, is a reaction that a lot of women have had. And it's so much about us. And when I joined the adult industry, I quickly started to realize that porn isn't about women and what men think women should be doing or judging or how men judge women. It's just, in a lot of cases, or in most cases, it's just about entertainment and them enjoying it and it making them feel good. But that took a long, long journey and seeing statistics and talking to porn stars. And in the end, it's ultimately left me with a lot more confidence.
See, this is what I think your book really like sort of fills this niche that we need out there, because I feel like a lot of women could identify with you. Like, you didn't start out loving porn and then say, hey, I loved porn, so then I went to work in porn and now I run a porn company. See how that all worked out so nicely? I mean, this sense of like deep ambivalence and even like hatred of porn in the beginning, and then coming to terms with it, and you kind of weave these stories throughout the book of how you really changed your perception of it. Do you feel like it's possible for anyone to do that? Do you feel like you could sit someone down who says, no, I think porn is bad, and if I find out my partner's watching it, I will kill them? Do you think you can change anyone's mind?
I think I can with some understanding, but also their commitment to having open communication with their partner. One of the things I talk about a lot in the book is having that open communication with their husband, boyfriend, and I'm talking about men here, and I know there are women who enjoy adult entertainment, but specifically I gear this more towards women who are having trouble with their boyfriends or husbands or whoever it may be. And they have to have that open conversation. And part of the issue is that men also feel ashamed by, basically not feel ashamed, but feel shamed by women for looking at adult entertainment, whether it even started from their mother shaming them, and just in general female culture saying that it's a bad thing, that they shouldn't be doing it. So oftentimes when women do want to talk about it, men don't rationally explain what's going on in their head. All they do is probably make false promises. Okay, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. And what do they go to do? They start looking at it at work, or they start looking at it when they think she's not around, and deleting their history and trying to hide it even better. They don't stop looking at it. They just try to get away with it more. And if my suggestion is for women to have that open conversation and talk about, well, why is it? And one thing I said is 95% of the time, or 99% of the time, if a woman has said, you know, I'd like to have sex right now, they would put the computer down or put their phone down or whatever they're using to look at adult entertainment and be there, because the real thing for them is still better than these videos. So one, I think establishing that, I was like, yeah, they're beautiful women and they might have double D's and they might do some crazy things in bed. But I, instead of watching that, I as a man would rather be with you and have a different experience that I consider even better. Is one thing that'll help women understand that they're not competing with porn stars. If that was really, that's a complete irrational thought, because if that was really really rational, we would have a flood of men running to LA to marry these women, and that's not what it's about. It's about entertainment.
You know, I think you, when you talk about this topic, you kind of cut right to the heart of people's anxiety or one of their anxieties within a couple, if you're single, doesn't matter. And that is our anxieties about our own sexual fantasies. I mean, it seems to me like you really wish people would be less afraid of their own fantasies as well as the fantasies of their partners. And I've always found this too, that porn can be a way to actually open up that dialogue if you're ready to have the conversation and to not get freaked out about it or not feel, you know, hurt or feel like your ego is being attacked because your partner fantasizes about, you know, group sex or fantasizes about blondes and you're a brunette. You know, it seems to me like some of this anxiety could be quelled if we could all just settle down and settle into the fact that our partners are sexual beings with sexual fantasies, some of which we can meet and some of which we can't, but they don't need us or want us to.
That's exactly right. And I think sitting down and having that conversation, and like you said, even watching a video, and I think it would be smart for women to say, let's watch one and maybe talk about it. And it would be smart for a man to maybe not pick out the most extreme video, but something that considers his partner as well, something that balances what he might like and what she might like, and start that conversation. But speaking of fantasies and sexual beings, of course, women will say, oh, you know, men think about sex all the time and that men are sexual beings. But part of the problem is that women deny that we're sexual beings. And there are studies showing that women fantasize a little bit less than men, sexual fantasy-wise. I think it was something about 80% of women have sexual fantasies versus 99% of men. But in the women that fantasize, they are much more likely to fantasize about someone they know, the neighbor, the mailman, whoever, a coworker, because that's how we're programmed. When we are ovulating from early days, our evolution says that our mind and body wants to find who is going to be the best father.
Sperm
to that
sperm
child.
Donor.
Or, yeah, not even a father.
The who's genes, the best, just the DNA. Yeah.
Who's going to give me the best DNA? And that results, I know I've woken up sometimes and be like, really? I just fantasized about that guy? And all of a sudden, he's hot to me. And it's really interesting. But as women, because of how all of our parts work, we're able to hide it and deny it a lot more. And a huge step is to not deny it. And realize that, look, I fantasize about someone. In fact, I fantasized about the neighbor a few days ago. And I'm able to also be a rational human being and not act on those fantasies, because I realize it puts other things in my relationship at risk, or my family at risk, or even STDs. Like, we're sexual beings, but we're also more than sexual beings, where we have a rational mind to make rational decisions. And when you realize that about yourself as a woman, then all of a sudden it's easier to have that thought process with your guy, and then be confident in, well, there's a reason why I picked him to be my boyfriend. And it's because I believe that he's a capable person who can make good decisions, hopefully, around intimate parts of your life. In most relationships, you know, there's of course a wide variety of relationships, but in a lot of just the, you know, general monogamous relationship, the deal was you're both choosing to be in a monogamous relationship.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we have so much to talk about. This book just opens up a whole lot more discussions. Like, that was one of the interesting things. This book's about porn, and then it's about a lot more than porn. But we've got to take a break. and hear from our fantastic sponsors, including my great presenting sponsor, Good Vibrations. Go to Good Vibrations at goodvibes.com. You can use coupon code Tristan for 15% off your order. You can go to one of their stores in the Bay Area or in Brookline, Massachusetts. They also have a great VOD site, goodvibrationsvod.com. So Good Vibrations has you covered sort of from every angle. Stay with us talking about porn and so much more with Allison Vivas when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Tristan from Sex Out Loud. I've been teaching anal sex workshops for more than 15 years, and when men ask me about prostate toys, it's easy. I always recommend Aneros. Aneros pioneered prostate health and pleasure products. Their quality and design is unmatched. Whether you're a beginner or an anal expert, Aneros is simply the best. You can get 15% off and free shipping on orders over $75 by using coupon code BETTERSEX at Aneros.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today I'm talking with Allison Vivas, the president at adult entertainment company Pink Visual. And before the break, we were talking about your book, Making Peace with Porn. So in a lot of the book, you reference this amazing data that you have access to because you run a porn company. And it's data about your users' porn viewing tastes and their habits, their likes, their dislikes. So as a kind of a geek, I want to know a few things. What is one piece of data that you wish everyone knew about other people's porn watching habits?
I think the amount that a guy watches a video. Rarely do they actually watch a full 2-hour video all the way through. And what's funny is that they might spend an hour or an hour and a half on the site browsing, and then only watch 7 minutes worth of a video. So we'll say that 7 minutes is the magic number for a guy, but it takes them a much, much longer time to determine what they want. It's not that straightforward. And because of that, you realize that men might not even be able to verbalize what it is that they're looking for when they're going to an adult entertainment site. And it just all of a sudden hits them, okay, now I'm aroused. And they might just be as surprised at why they got aroused as someone else. So I think that that's really an interesting fact. And some of our employees who have worked at adult entertainment video stores back in the day, they said that that's been long. A similar data has long existed, and in the video stores, they would joke that if a wife came in upset and was returning a video, and they said that they wanted to know what they were looking at, what's on this video, the store workers would tell them, well, all you'd have to do is rewind it by 2 minutes, and you'd see what exactly your husband or boyfriend was into. So I think that's some unique data.
I mean, I found it interesting because I just had these images kind of like all these guys at the grocery store just sort of like wandering the aisles and like coming back to the same aisle and then being like, no, maybe not. And then just being like, what am I in the mood to eat? Like, is it ice cream? Is it Spam? Is it I just pictured all these guys like in the grocery store, literally wandering around. We want people to be, I don't know, more sure of themselves, more clear about what's going to turn them on. It never occurred to me that it would take so long to decide to then buy 7 minutes of a porn movie.
And what's interesting, though, is that they're enjoying the experience. It's not like they're frustrated by it. I'm sure at some point that they do get frustrated by it.
If they can't find what they are looking for, I guess, right? You'd get frustrated.
Yeah. But it's an enjoyable experience. Otherwise, I relate it in the book to women and shoe shopping, that you go in and thinking, yeah, I need a pair of boots, but you see a nice pair of sandals, you see a pair of heels, and then you start thinking, okay, and go store to store to store, and then at the end make your final decision on what you're going to get. And it might not be what you originally came in for, but you enjoyed the experience. And same with a guy that when they're browsing the internet and women think, oh, you know, they're looking at porn for hours. It's the same thing. And when if you have a bad shopping partner with you who's constantly pulling on your shirt saying, let's go, come on, hurry up, it really brings down the experience. And for a guy, it's the same thing. If they're like, oh, you're always looking at porn, and have that pressure on them that they need to do it even faster or whatever it is, it ruins the experience. And if you look at it like you love your partner, you should want them to have an enjoyable experience. I want my husband to say, yeah, go shop and enjoy yourself, and not say, go shop, but be efficient about it and get back here on time and put me in a bad mood about it.
Right. Well, yeah, and I think that there's a certain amount of sort of space and permission giving, I feel like, in this metaphor that you spin in the book, which is like, if you take time for yourself and you appreciate that, what if time for your partner means exploring sex on the internet? And again, if you're there in the room, it's most likely that they want to have sex with you. But when you're not there, sometimes they want to engage in a little fantasy. And so it's like giving your partner the space to do that without holding it up against, there must be something wrong in our relationship if you're doing that.
Exactly. Having some freedom, it'll probably strengthen the relationship, but there has to be the open communication about it. And that'll make it more satisfying for both partners. For the guy to say, it's so cool. My partner, she's given me this time and I can relax and enjoy myself and not feel shamed about it. And for the wife to say, I have no problem with him looking at adult entertainment. I'm confident in our relationship and what we have. And then it can even add to the relationship and say, hey, as a way on a business trip, did you look at some good videos? Are you ready for the real thing? And it almost boosts your confidence as a woman to say that, yeah, he's looking at all these beautiful adult entertainment performers and he still wants me.
Mm-hmm. What is one piece of data that you found, like someone handed you this like spreadsheet one day and you went, oh, no. This must be wrong. Like, this can't be possible. Like, what's most surprised you? What's some number you saw and you're like, this is really crazy?
I think it's probably the public numbers that are out there. I think, what is it, something like 40% of all internet searches are for adult entertainment?
Mm-hmm.
So that is a huge amount, which, and then there was another study in Montreal where they were trying to look at men age 18 to 25 and distinguish between men who enjoy, look at adult entertainment and men who don't. And they actually couldn't find a single man who didn't look at adult entertainment. And that was, okay, yes, this is the data. We're seeing all these huge traffic numbers and there's companies that are even larger than us. And it really indicates that 99% of men who are able to access computers and have some type of sex drive are looking at adult entertainment. And that was just it, hands down, for me. And that happened early when I started working for Pink Visual, where I came home and told my husband, okay, you're not abnormal. Every other man is looking at adult entertainment. And once you realize that your guy is within the realm of normal, that also kind of is probably the first step to making peace with porn, basically, to realize it's not abnormal that he's looking at adult entertainment. It's actually completely 100% normal.
Right, of course. Okay, so we have to take another break. I want to give a shout out to one of my other sponsors, Astroglide. I want you guys to all check out the fantastic new product in their product line, Sensitive Skin Gel. It's all the things that you love about their gel formula, which I think is great for anal, but no potentially irritating ingredients, no parabens, no glycerin, and it's made with natural ingredients. Go to astroglide.com to find out more. Stay with us. Coming up, I am going to pick Allison's brain about more weird porn facts. And we're going to talk about some of the realities of what it means to run a porn company in 2014. These are questions I get, oh my God, practically every day. And we've got an expert here to answer them. So more Sex Out Loud and more porn when we get back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle, and so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today we're talking with the president of one of the most cutting-edge porn companies out there, Pink Visual, Allison Vivas. Allison, one of the things I think that also comes up in your book, Making Peace with Porn, is talking about this issue of sexual incompatibility in relationships. And it's interesting because I would say that this is one of the most common things that I hear from couples, is that they aren't 100% sexually compatible. So someone wants to have sex more often. Someone wants to have different kinds of sex. Someone wants to have sex for longer amounts of time, whatever it is. And this is one of the number one reasons that people go to couples counseling, and certainly go to couples counseling when there's a focus on sex. But you actually talk about how porn can be used to address a sexual incompatibility. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think one of my suggestions is, especially if maybe it's a very specific fantasy, and in the porn world, there's all sorts of fantasies. And I don't know, you could something with umbrellas or whatever. And it might just be past the line where one partner is not willing to participate in that. And they can then use porn as a compromise. Say, look, I'm not really into this, and I'm not willing to compromise on this, or I've compromised up to this point, but I can't get myself there. But how about we watch some adult entertainment that has that together, or you do it alone, or you get warmed up with it alone, and incorporate that as part of the sexual relationship, and even have conversations about the fantasy, about, well, whoa, why is it turning you on, especially if you're watching it together as a couple. But I think my suggestion even is that if women both make peace with porn and get comfortable with their own form of sexuality and have these conversations early on in relationships, we would have much more sexually compatible relationships in general. So a lot of times what happens is that in the beginning, no one's open about their sexuality, and their deep fantasies. And then later on in the relationship, that comes out into the open. And in like any part of the relationship, whether it's a communicator and one person communicates very well and the other person doesn't communicate well, you have to figure out ways to work that out. And that's the same with sexuality, and adult entertainment can be used as a way to help the communication and help the feeling fulfilled around those sexual fantasies that might not be able to be fulfilled elsewhere.
Well, I think that's a clear parallel. You know, in reading this book, it became very clear that if you can't have a conversation with your partner about porn, then you probably can't have a conversation about sex. And that is a problem. because this is your partner and you should be able to talk about sex with them. And so porn almost becomes this kind of stand-in for these things you wish weren't going on or didn't exist and the things you would rather kind of sweep under the rug. And so it seems to me that porn, when you open the conversation can be broader and richer and can lead to all down these other avenues that have nothing to do with what movie you watched or what star you like. It's really kind of a gateway into saying, do we have a relationship where sexual communication is on the table?
Exactly. And around that is female porn stars and male porn stars, but specifically around female porn stars, they are oftentimes extra sexual beings where they enjoy the work that they do, one, but two, are confident enough to allow it to be displayed to multiple not just multiple people, but probably millions of people. And what I wanted to say about that was just that oftentimes we as women, we judge these female adult entertainment performers negatively. Oh, you're having sex for money. And why not? I mean, women do all sorts of things for money. There's female wrestlers and female bodybuilders that they earn money doing it, but it's also something that they enjoy. Yes, it's not the standard female, the most mainstream woman's, I guess, career choice, but that's fine. There's no reason for us to judge them negatively. That's their strength. That's something that they enjoy and accept, and getting paid for it is a smart decision. Women often like to think that sexuality is a woman's weakness, and I actually think of it more that it's our strength. And the reason why it's our strength is because we have a lot more control over our sexuality and a little bit more rationale, where we're less likely to make the same mistakes that men make, where there's oftentimes stories of men in high power positions who make sexual advances because the power and the sexuality has gotten to them where they think that they're immune to these things. But in women's case, we are so much more able to not basically mess up our lives and careers by doing things like that. So I see it as a power thing for women, and not something for us to judge other women and start saying that, you know, other women are bad because they enjoy having sex and they accept payment for it. That is their own private decision. It's not hurting anybody, and it's their own strength. So allow them to do that.
Well, and you know as well as I do, because we both work in the industry, that porn stars, it seems like the craziest job you've ever heard of in your entire life until you do it every day. And then it becomes just as ordinary as, you know, working at FedEx. It's just different. There's like more nakedness, but it becomes, you know, it can be a very ordinary job. And I think we have to sort of give people credit for, like, that's your bag and this is my bag. And like, we're all just doing our things.
And there's a lot of acting that goes into it, because you can see all of a sudden the cameras are rolling and it was the most odd thing going on, where they're on the floor, maybe someone was on the floor cleaning up a spill just 3 minutes earlier, and it nothing sexy at all about the scene. And then all of a sudden they turn it into a very arousing sexual scene in a matter of minutes.
Now, one of the things I'm curious about, you know, I lecture at a lot of colleges and universities, and I'm always curious at like what students are going to ask me. And I've got to say that for the past probably year or two, the most common question I get asked is about money. I mean, it's about how do porn companies make money when porn is quote unquote free. You know, and there's this entire generation that has grown up with free pirated porn on the internet, and they don't think they should have to pay for porn. But your company is one of the ones who I think has been ahead of the curve in terms of mobile applications and interfaces, and really, really getting ahead of people in terms of pioneering the technology and how people use their smartphones and their mobile devices to watch porn. I mean, how do you explain Pink Visual's success in a porn economy right now where we are up against what seems like horrible odds because of all the pirating?
Yeah, well, we started mostly with programmers and developers, so we were all initially tech-minded, but the porn, when you come into the porn industry, it's somewhat glamorous and exciting, but like you said in the beginning, that's how it is in the beginning, but eventually it's business as usual. So it came back to our core strengths, which was our technology, and all of our guys and girls here, or women here, would always be the first to get the newest gadgets on the market and ask our staff for new ideas. And that pretty much established us in being on the technology forefront. But unfortunately, the mobile market is now the same as the just general online market, where it's been riddled with issues from piracy and people being able to access the content for free. I think over the past year and over the next year, there probably needs to be a shift to determine if adult entertainment is ultimately going to become just ad-supported, where copyright holders, the video producers, are just purely generating their revenue off of the advertising model, which is a little bit more like some aspects of mainstream, because the premium model for sure is suffering, with the exception of all these minute little niches that are coming out from individuals who enjoy that type of adult entertainment and are now becoming producers themselves. And because it's so hard to find, basically, consumers are becoming very loyal to that type of content.
So I guess you also don't have the answer to the dilemma of where we will go next, the next chapter of porn, but we will have to wait and see where that is. But in the meantime, if you have anyone out there in your life who is freaked out about porn, you definitely have to get Allison's book. Thank you so much for being on Sex Out Loud, Allison.
Thank you, Tristan.
Allison Vivas is the president of Pink Visual and the author of Making Peace with Porn. Find out more at pinkvisual.com and makingpeacewithporn.com. Follow her on Twitter at pinkvisual. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. And you can always find me, of course, on Twitter at Tristan Taramino or online at puckerup.com. Coming up next is Ask Tristan, where one lucky listener gets an answer to their burning question and wins a prize. So don't go anywhere.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe, share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com.
Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. So I just got this great email the other day from my contact at WeVibe. As you know, WeVibe is one of the sponsors of the show and makes fantastic products. Well, they're testing some new products. And I am actually going to get in my hot little hands some prototypes for products that haven't even made it to market yet. How exciting is that? I'm going to be testing new vibrators, people. This is what I love about WeVibe, is that real people test their products and give them feedback, real honest feedback, before they release a toy. So all of those great improvements that you see when they update the WeVibe 4, for example, you're going to see those in some new toys as well. And I'll have a little hand in making those changes. I'm excited about that. I'm also really excited because just in a couple weeks, April 5th to the 6th at the University of Toronto, is the second annual Feminist Porn Conference. I am producing the conference. It's presented by the Mark S. Bonham Center for Sexual Diversity Studies. And man, this one is even bigger than last year. I mean, the response last year was overwhelming. So we've made it into 2 days. There are about 45 different presenters. Students, academics, scholars, sex workers, activists, historians, fans, performers, directors, producers. They're all going to be there. And you can be there too. And not only hear some fantastic sessions, see some film screenings. If you're in the industry, go to an entire business track of workshops. And you can meet some of your favorite porn stars in their natural habitat. Academia. No, that was a little joke. Okay, so if you want to register, you can go to fpcon.org. You can also follow us on Twitter for the latest breaking news at FemPornCon. And I want to thank all my amazing sponsors. This conference is sponsored by Good Vibrations, Good Vibrations VOD, Slickwid, Aslan Leather, Studio 10, BrightDesire.com, the Feminist Porn Research Archive at York University is sponsoring it. Also, this very program, Sex Out Loud, the Feminist Press is a sponsor, and of course, the Good for Her Feminist Porn Awards, which happen the day before the conference. So go to fpcon.org to find out all about it. Now it's time for Ask Tristan, where I answer your questions. And it's also where you get to win a prize. Today's question comes in anonymously via email, but anonymous, you'll recognize your question and you're going to win a toy from the Sport Sheets line, Sex in the Shower. Something to make sex in the shower safer and more fun. So I'm going to email you, you're going to email me back with your mailing address, anonymous, and you're going to get your prize. This is what they write. I am 20 years old and I've never had sex with a man before, and I'm exploring ways to prepare my body for intercourse because I'm considering sleeping with my long-term boyfriend soon. I masturbate frequently and can achieve orgasm. I don't have issues with vaginal lubrication, and I've been experimenting with a mid-sized dildo. I'm able to insert it comfortably, but not all the way. and I do feel some pain. What kind of advice do you have for me to help me get my body more used to penetration and thrusting especially, so that my first time will be more comfortable and less painful? How do I know if I'm inserting the dildo improperly and safely? What can I do about vaginal tears? Will I get them from penetration? Will I have soreness afterwards? Also, how do I know if I will be allergic to spermicide in most condoms? Okay, so the first thing I want to say to you, Anonymous, is take a deep breath. There's a lot of questions in here which reveal a lot of worries. And I don't want you to go into your experience of first-time sexual intercourse with all this worrying. Because the truth is, no matter how well prepared you are for it, just like other things in life, you can prepare, you can practice, you can get mentally and physically ready. And then when it happens, well, shit goes wrong, it's awkward, it's weird, it's painful, and then you move on. So I don't want you to put such high expectations on the first time, because like other things, sex takes practice. And your first time isn't always that great. It's often never great, and that's okay. I'm excited that you're masturbating, first of all. You're way ahead of the game. You're masturbating and you can give yourself an orgasm. Those things are really going to come in handy once you start having sex with a partner. And you should share as much information as you feel comfortable doing about what you like and what you know you like and what you know your body responds to, because that's going to serve your partner well. That's going to be good information for this long-term boyfriend of yours to have, because it's going to make intercourse with that person better. Okay, so as for these preparations, the dildo, will my vaginal walls tear? Will I be sore afterwards? Well, here's what I have to say. Usually, yes, first-time intercourse and penetration can be painful. And it sounds like you are doing everything you possibly can to kind of rev up the engine, but it still may, in fact, be painful. And that's okay. I want to encourage you to use lube. I want you to encourage you to go slow. What we don't know and what I can't see, and I can't give you an exam over the radio, is how much of your hymen is intact, if your hymen is going to be torn partially or completely when you have intercourse. If you've been playing with a dildo, you may in fact already have a torn hymen, so there may not be that much tearing during sex. But I don't want you to worry too much about these things. I want you to concentrate on communicating with your partner about what feels good, about going slowly or at the pace that feels comfortable for you, and not getting preoccupied with, oh my God, how is this going to go? Can I make it go better? It's going to kind of go how it's going to go. I'm glad you're masturbating. I'm glad you know how to give yourself an orgasm. I'm glad you know about lube. I'm glad you own a dildo. As far as I'm concerned, Anonymous, you are on your way. As for the allergy to spermicide, what I would say is try to get a condom that's not lubricated and then add your own lube to it. That way, you can pick the lube you want with the ingredients you want, and then you don't have to guess what a pre-lubricated condom has on it that may or may not irritate you. So there's an easy fix there. Thanks for your question, Anonymous. I don't often get questions, you know, that are just people just starting out. So I'm excited, and I hope my show helps you start out, you know, on a sex-positive note. I want to thank everyone who makes Sex Out Loud possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and today, Randy, engineering, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. I really recommend this. This way you don't even have to think about it. You just sync your phone and it shows up. And there's a link right on our homepage at sexoutloudradio.com where you can go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Okay, tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Susie Bright, the legendary, the one and only Susie Bright. This is a special treat, people, because Susie will not only be on my show, she will be live and in studio. You do not want to miss that conversation, because when Susie and I get going, especially in person, you don't even know what is going to come out of our mouths. So I think there's going to be just inappropriate revelations, secrets spilled, inappropriate dishing. I mean, just crazy. And I'll probably keep her around for the Ask Tristan segment. So if you have a question for Susie, definitely email me or post it to our social media in advance. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter @SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.